Welcome to the Experience Grind Podcast. It's the show about getting older and the experience that we've gained along the way through movies, TV, games, and music. I'm Dave Michaels. I'm your host for this episode. And I'm joined today by Brian Betts.
My favorite episode of The Toys That Made Us is Season 3, Episode 2, Power Rangers, of course.
Of course it is. Ryan Demarest.
Movies may have shaped me a great deal, but spoilers. I'm not talking about cape shit tonight.
Kyle!
My favorite Saturday morning cartoon was Reboot.
Oh, what is Reboot?
Oh, that was a good CG shitty cartoon about computer programs that lived in your PC.
And Revolutionary kind of like is now. A weird way of being pronounced by shitty.
And Sean!
My favorite part of Home Alone is when the bad guys get theirs.
Okay.
Oh, God. Will we get there? I feel like we'll get there. That feels like we'll get there.
It does.
We'll get there. Maybe.
So this week, I got to kind of pick the topic, pick the what the show's going to be. And I want to talk about the movies that made us. I want to dive into how we all kind of tick. How we all became the messed up, broken people that we are today.
I didn't anticipate this to be such a self-introspective that it became over the last week of thinking about this, but here we are.
There have been messages in our group about, like, I can't believe I thought about this, and now my life has changed, and I thought, oh, God, I got to cross that out and go to this one now. Oh, what are we doing?
Yeah.
It was a very fun exercise. I went in thinking I might have, like, one of these nailed down. And that was correct, because the other two changed almost entirely up until, like, the last hour, maybe, before we recorded.
You went to the last hour?
Yeah, because I really debated on one. Mm-hmm. I've got honorable mentions, because I could not decide.
Oh, yeah, I have tons of honorable mentions. I had a hard time narrowing it down to three, but the three that I thought it would be ended up being the three it was. So
wow. My three completely changed after a conversation with Ryan, where Ryan was like, I'm not sure how to do this. And my three completely changed after that conversation. Where I was like, I felt like I was helping him, but I was helping myself.
Mine might change by the end of this episode. Who knows?
Who knows? I don't know where we're even going yet. This is a journey we're all going on together.
To the far side.
Brian.
Yeah.
How about you start us out here? What's your number three movie?
My number three is a movie from made you? My childhood. Like the first movie that I got really excited about as a kid. So much so that it had not come out yet. And I was already bugging my parents about it so much that they're like, shut up. Here's a version of it that's not it. I'm talking about 1992's Aladdin. I saw previews for Aladdin that drove me so crazy about needing to see this movie that I was like, Mom, it's Aladdin, it's Aladdin. She's like, it's the sing-along songs. It's not even out yet. So I knew all the songs from the movie before it actually came out.
Wow. But
yeah, Aladdin was the first movie that I had like major movie fever about.
Were you watching it in theaters singing along now that you had known the words?
Mr. Aladdin, sir!
I actually don't even remember the theater experience, if I'm being completely honest.
Wow, okay. But I imagine you had it on VHS, as we all did, and then that's where you wore
clamshell
out.
And just wore out the VHS. Yeah, absolutely.
Just nice. Like the second tape of Titanic.
That's right.
I imagine.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
That's a fun one. I nearly put The Lion King on my list.
Because
that was like the first movie I remember getting that feeling for, too.
Real close between those two.
I feel like, especially with our childhoods and our ages, I feel like a Disney movie could have ended up on pretty much any one of our lists. Mm-hmm. And the ones that came out around that time from, I don't know, the late 80s to the early 90s. There's just so many good ones that came out. Or iconic ones that are just remembered so fondly right now.
I want to know the person.
Age of Disney animation.
It is. I want to know the person who picks Hunchback of Notre Dame as like the movie that shaped them, though. I want to know
that's
that
like mid-90s, late
like
90s.
Like literally shaped them? Like they walk with a hump?
And they literally shaped them.
I feel like it spoke to me for some reason.
They had a kid named her Esmeralda.
That's where Carlos Santana got the inspiration for the song. Smooth by Rob Thomas.
Are you serious? Oh, yes. Okay. Well,
no.
I would have bought that. That sounded good.
It really did. It was so specific.
I've been working on lying, guys. I'm glad.
Ryan is turning
his
into
back Huggy. Was so smooth.
Since he grew the mustache, he's just becoming a trickster god.
Yeah, smarmy villain.
I like chaos.
Loki famously has a mustache. That's right.
Yeah.
Ryan, why don't you tell the truth? What's your number three?
All right. My number three.
Vincent Price, what you got?
So, going back to what Sean said, we did have a conversation kind of about this topic beforehand, in which I was relaying to him kind of my apprehension, because I don't remember a lot of movies from when I was really young affecting me. I remember being pretty ambivalent towards movies for a large portion of my childhood. It was just something that was happening in the background. Fucking 97 was when the Star Wars re-releases, I think, came out. And that was like the first time, like, I remember going to a theater and actually being like into a movie and not just having to go to a theater and watch whatever my parent wanted to do, you know? So with that, my shit's going to be a lot more recent. I'm not going to have older 90s stuff. But kind of one of the things I wanted to see movie-wise, humor. How it shaped my humor. And I think maybe the most influential movie, and arguably the series with it that shaped me, is Jackass the movie. I had another way I could have gone with this that also really influenced me, and I'll get to these in my honorable mentions later. But Jackass the movie and Jackass the show obviously spoke to a lot of, you know, males our age specifically. Like, it really targeted our demographic growing up. To the point where, like, I was doing the stupid things they were doing. So not only did it shape what I thought was funny, what I thought other people thought was funny, but it's probably going to shape me physically with, like, because, oh, it's really funny to just, like, run into a tree head first, like, 10 times for my cousin. Like, I'm gonna feel that probably not long, like, just within a couple years, I would imagine. So for many reasons, this shaped me, but it also, like, honestly, I saw this at a time where it pushed me, and I really appreciate Jackass for that. Like, it kind of shows a lot of stuff, and it made me really comfortable with stuff I had not seen before. And I will be very honest, like, some of that's Party Boy. Very the homoerotic stuff they do. Very Christian upbringing. Like, that stuff was very off limits to me. So seeing this made it kind of like normal, and it was okay. And
now you watch it all the time.
Now I can't. On your private time. I can't get enough of Party Boy. I only watch those skits. I don't know why. I do it in like 0.5 speed. If you know why I'm doing this, bounce. Please write it. It's the bounce. That's what it is. But no, I love it. I love the humor, and it's that clearly shaped a big part of my life.
I snorted a line of wasabi in front of like 15 people when I was like 20.
Way to go, kid. Like, way to go.
For a month of a phone bill being paid.
Like, that's not bad, actually. I would do that. Yeah. Right?
I would do it again.
Yeah, that's not bad. You got more than Steve-O got. Well,
in this economy?
Chugged half a gallon of rancid milk.
Give me the wasabi.
For $5.
Brian just checked off the getting older part of the episode. We're good now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like playing this game with people that I know, especially from work, like, what's your price? Give somebody some obscure, ridiculous thing and be like, what, realistically, everybody says, like, for $1 million, I'd do this. But realistically, how much would it take for you to do something? Is it $4,000, $5,000? Is it $500? Like, I
love doing that with, like, over-unders, too, in social situations. Like, yeah. Hey, over-under $25, would you do this?
Yeah. And be completely honest. Like, I am curious about what you would do for this amount of money. Like, realistically, $1,000, while it may not make a huge impact in your life, that's a lot of money still to take care of some bills. Like,
yeah,
be real about it. We're not rich.
At this point in my life, there's very little I wouldn't do for $60,000 in my hand right now.
I cannot name many things. Yeah. And well, most,
Sean,
of that comes from Jackass.
I got some
so
of the best friends
pick.
In the world right here. So I'm a very rich man.
The real jackasses were the friends we made along the
way. No one bought that?
I'm giving you the heart symbol, you crass bastard.
Yeah, but the way you're doing it makes it look like you're like showing where the Iron Man arc reactor should go.
It does. It's very circular. It's an enlarged heart.
I've got old man hands.
It's like that one.
They're arthritic. They don't bend.
Blood. Can't make hearts. That's what it says. Just... Blah.
The he's driving the blood. Man, you're gonna get like carpal tunnel trying that now. There's a reason why gangsters are out before they're like 25, and it's not always death.
Kyle just successfully did the first real life Kamehameha.
Sure did.
We saw it. I'm sorry, listeners.
Kyle, why don't you hit me with your number three pick of the movie that made you?
Me. I'll give you my honorable mention here first, because I thought about it for a while, and I did change this one. My honorable mention I had here at first was honestly Child's Play, because I do feel it influenced me a lot and made me absolutely terrified of dolls and things of that nature. But then I also started changing my stuff after talking with Ryan. And unfortunately, I went kind of the opposite way of he did, where he was like, yeah, I'm worried about just doing like our original top list that we did. And so I did dip it really like Ryan and a lot of people had what they call a Tarantino moment. I had a Terry Gilliam moment when I saw Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
You zoomed the camera all the way in.
My
and
mind
made it goofy?
Was fucking blown, man. Like I could not. It's still one of the craziest movies I've ever seen. It's still one of my favorite movies. It's so frenetic and just, it's such a crazy idea of what film can be. Like, I had never seen anything like it, and it changed my entire appreciation of movies. I saw it before I'd ever seen a Tarantino movie, and after that, like, that's when I started seeking out, like, oh, wait, movies do shit like this? This is really cool. So that was sort of my awakening moment. So absolutely, Fear and Loathing.
It's a great
movie. I still have never seen it.
I know, and I plan to rectify that, buddy.
I figured as much.
It's, I'm sitting that one out.
Yeah, I know. Sean doesn't want to.
Fun cast. It is. I have such a fun time with it.
Depp's best performance ever, I feel.
And Del Toro.
His performance in
and
that was
Maguire.
Yeah. Benicio also absolutely crushing it, so.
There is like three quarters of that movie that I absolutely love. And then, like, the other one quarter just unglues everything for me.
It's supposed
but I
to
see
do that.
100% yeah. Why people love that movie.
Sean gets it.
Yeah.
Sean gets it.
I also agree with Sean and apparently Dave, but also Kyle. Everybody's right here. Everybody is right here.
It's a wild one, man.
I think Brian will like it. Undeniably fun.
I'm very interested in seeing
you
that.
Still, I know you've seen a lot of movies. I still get, you've never seen anything like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Nope.
That's a very promising statement.
Mm-hmm. That's what you want.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Sean.
Man, I feel like we're just going to keep touching upon this, but after a conversation with Ryan, this started much different when we recorded that episode a couple of weeks ago. And I had a lot of time to think about this. And like during that episode, I think I even said, oh, I already know what they are. But in my mind, I had a very different thing off the bat of like go back to the movies that I watched a lot as a kid or when I was younger, or go to ones that were like my favorite. And the more I thought about it and then talking to Ryan, that's not even the case. Like those movies didn't make me. Forrest Gump didn't make me. Apollo 13 didn't make me. Like I watched those so much. And I actually ended up with a different movies through different parts of my life that maybe something didn't hit me until, well, I was 17, like Saw. Saw came out in 2004 and again, it's not one of my favorite. I love Saw. Watching it now, there's so many flaws. The acting and it's terrible. Whatever. But it did spawn one of my favorite franchises. Cool. But that was the first horror movie I actually ever saw in theaters. And up until that point, I wasn't a huge horror fan. Like I didn't watch a lot. You know, it's Child's Play, just looking at the cover in the VHS store, like I would hide around the corner, scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I saw it in theaters, and it was the first time in my life that I got out of a film, and we sat in the car in the parking lot for an hour just talking about what we had just seen. Like, all we wanted to do was just talk about and unpack everything that we just saw. And I had never had an experience like that before. And it completely changed my view on horror, what horror could be. And now I very much so like seeking out films like that. I'm not really in like horror for the sake of hacks and slashes, but the kind of one that really makes you think is so far up my alley now. And it wouldn't be that case without Saw. So Saw absolutely has to be one of the movies that made me.
That's such a good pick and such a good description too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole argument to be made that a lot of people get angry at modern day film because they more look at it as a way to turn off instead of a way to turn on your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I love hearing that you just like talked in a car with your friends for an hour after. And it's like, I had a similar experience probably around 2004, 2005, somewhere in there. I remember seeing Passion of the Christ in theaters, but it was like the complete opposite. How after in the car, we're just like in silence of like, what just happened? What did we just see?
2006 was like a weird year for film.
We're not going to see again in a while. It's strange.
That was one of the biggest complaints.
Imagine going to theaters in 2006, and it's like, are we going to see Passion of the Christ or V for Vendetta? Or She's the Man.
Oh, God.
What a time to be alive.
One of the big complaints.
All in theaters at the exact same time.
Ryan and I had when we started doing the show was that we couldn't immediately talk about films in the parking lot after we watched them at the theater. And we're like, fuck, man.
Yeah,
because that is one of the highlights. One of my favorite parts about going to the movies is just like decompressing afterwards.
It's such a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bouncing
ideas. Me and Brian
had
that feeling too, where me and Brian saw Shazam in sneak previews like 2 weeks before it came out, the first one.
Ooh.
And we were going to record an episode on it right after we saw it. But we decided we wanted to stop at Taco Bell on the way back to my house to record the episode. That was
awkward.
The most awkward lunch I've ever had.
It was, because all we wanted to do was talk about the movie.
We're just like staring at each other like, can you pass the hot sauce? Thank you.
Oh,
they want the
I didn't even know they did a zero sugar Baja Blast.
Yeah, so.
I feel like we did a similar thing when the Rise of Skywalker came out. Like, we wanted to talk so bad about that movie that we're like, let's just go back and record an episode. And it ended
we
up
never
just,
released the episode.
We never released it because all we did was shit
on
it.
We just yelled
like
into a microphone
hour and a half.
For an hour and a half.
Because all we really wanted
never
to do was talk about how much we didn't like it.
You just let it fester and explode.
We're like, ah, I want to talk
felt
about
good.
This. It did.
There's,
like, I feel better as a human being knowing that I did that.
Yeah.
I, as a listener, I like that. Because that feels very authentic, that anger right off the bat. But sorry, continue.
It's too authentic, though. It's
yeah,
too
we,
authentic.
We were too mean. We were
I
way
want
too mean.
That. Give me the undiluted anger. Continue.
Dave, what about yours? What's your number three movie that made you?
My number three movie is the... Like, I saw it as a teenager. I think it was my freshman year of high school. And I remember being on a band trip, of all things, going to Hershey Park to play. And we ended up stopping at a mall to like do bathroom runs on the way. And one guy came out with the soundtrack for this movie. And I remember going like, I don't know what that is, but he's into it. He seems all right. It's got to be something like kind of cool. You wish it was Xanadu. When I got home from that trip, I went to the video store. I rented this movie and I watched it. And the only thought I had was, I want to make movies now.
Is it Rocky Horror?
Because what I saw in my mind at this time was this could only be a movie, the way that this is being portrayed. There were so many ideas behind it. There were, like, the way it was shot was absolutely incredible. It was acted was absolutely incredible. And it was 1971's A Clockwork Orange.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Very nice. Very nice.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Unexpected.
Wow. Stanley Kubrick is
musical.
Very much... But, on my Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very much. And Clockwork Orange was the movie that made me want to watch more, like, movies. Mm-hmm. Not just like, I saw Joe Dirt. It was funny as hell. Like, and it is. It is. Unfortunately.
That is the line. Though.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, this made me want to go out and see more things, kind of experience what film really is all about. I have vivid memories of watching Amadeus right after Clockwork Orange and going like, yeah, I'm here now. This is what I want. This is what I want my life to be about. This is perfect.
That's such a fascinating choice. I love the world that is built in that movie. Well, in the book, and then furthermore in the movie.
Yeah.
In that, like, I have tried several times to read the book, but I cannot get my head to wrap around, like, this vernacular that was created in this world. It's so ultra
violence.
Ugh. Like, just the slang they use. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, man.
It's not even my favorite Kubrick movie.
I think it's mine. It's the first one I saw. I loved it. I've always loved it. That's a good choice, man. Kudos.
Yeah.
Kudos.
I appreciate it more than I like it, but I think it's a great choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same. I'm on the same page as you, Ryan.
But it's such a good choice, and it makes sense. I get it. I completely get it.
Yeah. I didn't see that until... Yeah, at this point, it feels like it was recent, but I guess it was like, I don't know, 8,
it's probably
years
not.
Ago.
That's, yeah.
At this
that's
point,
how it
like,
goes.
What the fuck's time anymore? But yeah. When I saw it was the same. I appreciate it for what it was. I didn't love the movie, but I like what it did and what it told.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the things that it brought to the screen, especially in the time that the movie came out, like... There's a lot
it was
of
super controversial. Really Maybe we'll talk about it one stuff. Day, but it was super controversial.
Bold filmmaking, undeniably.
Yeah. I actually have one of the cod pieces in the other room.
Do you really?
Yeah, no, you let me wear it one time. Shit, it was great.
No.
Just because I'm better at lying doesn't mean I'm any less susceptible. Man, I believe it every fucking time. Goddamn.
He's good at lying and being gullible. What's even real anymore?
Perfect combo.
There's no reality.
Brian, top of the order. Hit me with a number two.
My number two is proof that I did not talk to Ryan this week about my picks.
You almost got him to spit take.
That was
did
so
he?
Close.
Did you? No, he held it in. All right.
It was close. I got it real quick.
Oh, man. I thought that dam was breaking.
It's close.
When I found out that this movie was coming out, I was very excited because as a kid, here we are again in my childhood, I watched a lot of Saturday morning cartoons, some of which were less popular than others, and a lot of people don't even remember that they existed, but one of them was about a man who had a lot of money who built these suits. And in 2008, they put out a movie about this man. And it influenced a lot of what would come next in my adulthood. And that was 2008's Iron Man, which obviously started the entire MCU and is a big influence on who I am today as a person. Because the last,
I almost squealed.
12, 13 years of movies or however many it's been now, what is time? I remember going to see this movie. I was still in college, and my roommates were like, yeah, we're going to see the new Iron Man movie. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that was coming out. I used to love the cartoon as a kid. We crammed 8 people into a Honda Civic and drove to the movie theater. There was a guy in the trunk.
Wow.
And we went in, we watched the movie, and I just sat there in awe the whole time. Like, I can't believe this is really happening. And then the post-credits scene happened, and we knew somebody, one of the people in the group was like, there's something after the credits, we have to stay. And when Nick Fury came out, I was like, holy shit, they're doing a thing. And this is awesome. And I became all about it. And I've been all in since, despite the highs and lows. But it's definitely a big part of who I am today as we sit here.
Riding that wave. I remember seeing that in theaters and just like the goosebumps that ran up my arms when you just heard, durr, 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 durr. It was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, it was a surreal moment. And then I got to live it again when the Moon Knight TV show came out. I was like, I can't believe this is actually happening.
God, it makes me so happy because I have not agreed with anything anybody has said so hard, so much more. It resonates so much with me, though it would have been X-Men in 2000. That wasn't for me because it was the X-Men animated series. That's what I grew up with. So... same, but finally seeing Iron Man, as you said, like Nick Fury come in and the promise of the Avengers and that, hey, this really cool thing that you love from the comics, we're actually going to do that in the movies. We've teased it and we've flirted with it, but now we're going to do it. We're going to bring these disparate elements together and we're going to make something weird. And it's going to be fun. And as everybody knows, they fulfilled that promise and then some.
Absolutely.
That there are people complaining can eat so many dicks. So many dicks. Because
that also
like,
probably
wonders what they did.
It marks the moment where I kind of shifted from being more of a DC fanboy to a Marvel fanboy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Maybe I was very big
Iron
Batman
Man movie
fan.
Specifically.
And recently.
Yeah, I would say the Iron Man movie was what did it. I mean, the Spider-Man's helped for sure. But
okay. All right. I like
say,
it.
My like gateway cape. Like the one that really hit, obviously, Batman 89, obviously, yeah. And Superman 78. But the one that really did it for me wasn't even Spider-Man. It was Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2
I nearly put
so
it on my list.
Good.
That's the one that I know it's the best one, but I would be lying if it wasn't. If I didn't even get so hyped for X-Men as not faithful to the comics as it was, I was just so ecstatic just to see these people that I knew. To see fucking Wolverine and Mystique and like... fucking even Toad and like some weirdos up there like that just gave me so much hope. Like we're in a world where literally anything can happen now, and it gave me hope like for a Ben Affleck Daredevil movie and a Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider movie and a Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie, and I got that hopes dashed a lot. But
isn't it great that now we kind of have a little bit of that hope back?
Yeah,
Green Lantern's not that bad.
It's not
also
that good.
That, like. You also
no one's saying it's that good.
Now,
okay.
I love it so much.
That if something came out that was bad, you're like, they're just going to remake it and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
Now,
well, the cool thing is, like,
there was not that hope back then, and it was a
not
lot
then.
More
right.
dire.
But now you have that from what's come from there is you can look back at all of those turds that have come out, and so many of these things have been redeemed. Not looking at you, Fantastic Four. But, like, so many of the other ones have been redeemed.
Hold out hope, though.
Hopefully.
Honestly, I still sit here in the year of our Lord 2024 thinking we could still get another good Ben Affleck Daredevil appearance.
Yes, please.
It's still possible.
That one I will agree with
you. Kills a lady on a plane with a peanut.
Elektra's still popping up, so why can't we get Ben Affleck?
Cut the playground scene out, and Daredevil's a good movie. And honestly, like, you put in the Coolio stuff, it's great. It's really, it's solid. It's really good.
It's not
bad. It's really good.
Yeah.
Ryan, what's your number two?
All right. So, jumping from humor, I'm going more film pretentious. Where's he gonna go?
I put my bow tie on just to listen.
As you should. Please. And get out your monocles. So this one shaped me in a lot of ways, and it's very similar to Sean when he talked about like specifically Saw and how it kind of turned him on to elevated horror and like, oh, there's something more here than just like people getting killed and like, oh, I'm really into this. And for me, that movie is The Sixth Sense.
Yes.
It's not even my favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie. Like, that's still Signs. It will always fucking be Signs. I love Signs so fucking much. But The Sixth Sense, for many reasons, really shaped me. It's I am too young to have fully appreciated Hitchcock at this age when it was released. And I did not see Sixth Sense in theaters. And I think that was honestly a huge benefit. Because I saw it on VHS that I rented from Blockbuster a year or two later. And at that point, I think DVDs were on the verge of starting, in which case they started doing bonus features. And I remember the VHS for Sixth Sense had a bonus feature that broke down like the color theming, and like anytime something bad happens, there's like a subtle red thing in the frame to like clue you to this. And it like kind of broke down the film theory of the Sixth Sense and like what's there and how you can interpret it and how you can like actually see this twist coming before if you're paying attention to the film. And that alone was something that kind of broke my little dumb fucking brain, because I think at this point like we were getting scary movies and things like that, and like that's what was in Ryan's brain. And so to see like The Sixth Sense, like it to quote Sean, like it just all of a sudden unlocks something like, oh, movies do this too. It's not just this, like there's something else here. And it's something I have been chasing ever since. Like, this is chasing Amy. I am chasing The Sixth Sense and, like, this discovery of, like, new movie. Like, there's deeper levels and, like, they actually meant this. And there's, like, these subtle, like, ways the artist or director or whoever touched this movie to, like, lead you in. And, like, being able to tune in and tap into that just, like, really shaped everything about movies for me. And honestly, this is, I don't think I appreciated any movie before The Sixth Sense in a way that I have after The Sixth Sense, because I think it taught me how to appreciate a movie.
I agree with that.
That movie right there has completely changed the way that I consume films.
Yeah.
Much like you, like today, if I watch something that you can tell that there's little breadcrumbs throughout, I'm immediately the next day going on to like YouTube and just consuming everything that I can find that's breaking down little things that you may have missed, that if you're able to follow through, you can see a through line there, or it lends itself to a larger mythology that's going on behind the picture that it doesn't just smoke you over the head with. Like, it rewards you for watching multiple times, for consuming alternate media to have a better appreciation for it. And it just compounds. Man, that's a fantastic number two.
Thank you.
It's a movie that gets better with rewatch, too.
Yeah.
Kyle, what's your number two?
So I promise my number one movie is different from my original choice, but my number two is also from that original list. But yeah, this movie is the very first movie I saw in theaters, and I was completely enwrapped the entire time. The next day, I begged my mom for $20 so I could go back and watch it in theaters again. It was the only movie I've ever seen. I saw multiple... It was the first movie I saw. I had to see it again in theaters. I fell completely in love. It opened my mind to so many different new ideas and thoughts and just different types of movies. I fell in love with kung fu movies because of The Matrix. The Matrix, man. Absolutely blew my dumb mind.
Same.
It fucking hooked me so hard, man. I used to dress up as an agent. I had like a little Game Boy coil light that you would use to play in the car that I would wrap around my ears because it looked like it was a clear coil, so it looked like the fucking agent communication device. Loved it.
Wow.
I bought Neo's replica sunglasses. I wore them for 2 years until they broke.
It's probably better than Lawrence Fishburne's.
Yeah, they did sell those too, though. You could buy those. They were just $100, and I was a young kid. I didn't have that.
It's true.
But yeah, man, I fucking love this movie. It blew me, like the spinning camera scenes.
Mm-hmm.
The kung fu.
It changed the movie industry.
Yeah, dude. Revolutionized everything.
It really did.
Wild stuff, man. So yeah, wow. Just, I don't have much more to, you know, it fucking rules. Also exposed me to Rage Against the Machine, because I bought that soundtrack. Oh, I pumped that soundtrack.
I had that soundtrack too.
So fucking hard.
That soundtrack is so fucking good.
Goddamn, it's good. The Lobby Shootout track.
Uh-huh. The Lobby Shootout. It was the moment I was like, oh, I kind of understand this movie. This movie's pretty good. There's layers to it. And the Lobby Shootout happened. I went, now you're talking to me.
Fucking great shit, dude.
Phenomenal.
I love that movie. So,
That's my number two. I promise number one you haven't heard of and you will not expect it. Throwing that out there.
The Matrix Revolution.
You know, Kyle, knowing you the way that I know you, I don't know why I didn't see this coming. But again, fantastic. Changed the film industry. At the time, it feels like it really changed gaming as well.
Yeah, it really did, man. It did so much.
Awesome, but then
Max Payne?
Max Payne,
thank you.
Max Payne came out like the year after.
And like bullet time is just such a thing now that you're just, it's its own thing. You know what it is.
Yep. I'll trace back to that. What a fantastic pick. I once heard somebody say there's no John Wick without the Matrix. Which pill did they take, huh? Well, I'm going to set this out.
You shouldn't. It's your pick for number two.
Yeah.
What was your number two?
Actually, I'm going to retroactively.
So the one time I want you to talk.
One of my honorable mentions. Going back to Saw, I really didn't want to double up on like times of my life for movies, multiple picks. And around the same time as Saw, Mystic River came out in 2003. And me, as a kid, like a couple years prior to that, I saw Saw or Seven and really loved that movie. But like for everything that I loved in Seven, Mystic River like just had me completely enamored with that style of film. Love it.
Wow.
Don't know what Ryan's
that
doing.
That is a really cool pick, Sean. That's a really cool pick.
That's his honorable mention, though, right?
I really like 100%. That movie.
Yeah, that was just an honorable mention.
Then your next pick should be even more cool, probably.
It's definitely not. I actually should have saved this for last. But whatever.
Guys, Pinocchio is pretty neat.
This is actually, my list is in no particular order. I'm just jumping around. My next one's actually something that is, Ryan said he had something that kind of formed his sense of humor and stuff. And mine's very similar. Going back to, gosh, this came out in 94. I would say about 95, 96. My grandpa actually broke his leg in the Senior Olympics. And while he was kind of holed up in his house, I spent a lot of weekends over there. And we rented movies and we would just sit around watching things. And I feel like I absorbed a lot of his sense of humor because in that time, there's Happy Gilmore. There's Hot Shots Part Two.
Hot Shots is a different movie.
Oh, what a movie.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nearly nice. Made mine.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
One of the movies that made me. It is. Honestly, truly, I can trace almost all of like the entirety of my sense of humor back to that movie. And it's not even my favorite out of the movies that I just listed, but it is 100% the reason why I like movies that are better than that, because of just like, I just enjoyed it so much. It's so innocent and so funny. And to this day, I can put it on and see why the movie is so important to me. So without a doubt, that is... Yeah, I didn't have a sense of humor before 1996.
It got developed when you watched them duct tape.
I never once laughed.
Oh, it's weird.
So, yeah, that's my
just
pick.
A creepy kid.
Watching
with
that
sense
is
of humor.
Just like,
so good, Sean.
Sound just escaped
halfway
my face.
What are these noises that are coming out of my face? Mom!
It was like
I remember
hiccup,
eating,
but
watching
different.
That movie and eating grasshopper ice cream. Like
whoa.
One of the most fond memories of my life. That I think on that same weekend watched The Mask for the first time.
Nice.
But it was
oh wow.
I think that's
you
how
the
you
giggles.
Know it's like a movie that really impacted you when it like the sense memory is there almost completely. And you know time and place and you can go back there immediately. Yeah.
I could if you gave me a furniture set and my grandfather's the shape of his house, I could set up the entire two rooms that were connected just because of this movie.
That's fantastic. That's really cool.
Yep.
It's also Dave, the best Fairly Brothers
you?
Movie.
My number two is what got me into a genre that I absolutely adore, but I also think this is the most airtight movie ever made.
Oh.
It's 1985's Back to the Future.
Ooh.
Ooh.
God damn, okay. Dude. Every choice
that's
everybody has been so on point.
Absolutely.
It's very
it seems so
I think Back
for
to the Future is not the greatest movie ever made, but it's probably top two.
It's up there.
Honestly,
it's up there for sure.
This is, I'm kind of flip-flop. It's one that was in the background when I was growing up, but did not capture my attention like Star Wars or Indiana Jones. It felt a little bit boring. But now as an adult, I've grown so much more appreciative of it. Now I love this movie. Now I think it's like one of the best. But as a child, it didn't reach me.
Sure. No, I remember watching the movie growing up and it's like, oh, this is cool. That's a cool looking time machine. And I remember going to a car show with my dad and they had the DeLorean there. It wasn't obviously the real DeLorean.
How old?
Movie, just they had like
a DeLorean.
This is young. This is early 90s.
Okay.
And I remember seeing the DeLorean and thinking like, that's a time machine. Like, and it like blew my mind. Oh God, I'm like having feelings about this movie.
Funny.
I love this movie so much.
Awesome.
Like,
That's good.
It's airtight. It is fucking tight. Whenever I have a terrible day, this is the first movie that comes to mind. I'm like, I'm going to throw him Back to the Future. Like, I need to feel good. I need to feel like I'm in a good place again. And it always brings me back to just this really good place growing up where this movie is on a pedestal for me for sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's always hit and it still hits. And that means something to me.
Mm-hmm. I famously to like four people like refused to watch this movie for like most of my life because I had reached the point where it's like, okay, I'm like 30 How years past this movie coming out. Like it can't be that good. I don't care. Everybody's pushing me to watch it. I'm like, no, pump the brakes.
You're getting more enjoyment out of the people's reaction to seeing it than you thought you would have gotten from seeing
it. Dig it in my heels.
Yeah. I feel like this is a whole Dr. Cox wrong situation here.
Kyle bought me the 3-movie disc set 1 year.
Passive aggressive.
Force me to watch it because he's like, what are you going to do, not watch it? Mm-hmm. I bought you it. So I watched it and yeah, it's pretty good.
Pretty good. I do like them a lot. And I did that for love of the movies, Dave. So I agree with you, man. Great choice.
Yeah.
Brian, what's your number one?
My number one. If you've been listening to any of our previous podcasts, mine and Dave's, you probably know what my favorite movie of all time is. So it should come as no surprise that the movie that shaped me the most is also the same movie. It's 1998's The Truman Show. Wow. It is the first movie that did an absolute mindfuck job on me. I watched it and I was just like, but wait, what if? And like Ryan was saying, when you can go back to that moment where you first saw a movie and picture the environment you were in, I can picture every detail of that living room because I looked around the walls for about an hour and a half after the movie ended, trying to find the hidden cameras. Like, wow. Was this movie a hint? Did my parents show me this to like let me in on the secret? Are you guys fucking with me right now? God. It stuck with me so long. I was like, wait, how believable is this concept? Like, every time I get on an airplane, are they just moving pictures outside of the... This movie fucked with me hard, and I loved it. I absolutely loved every second of it, and I was like... And you get the behind-the-scenes production of a TV show, and it got me interested in that, and it's... I mean, it's done to this day. Just, I'm still... There's like 5% of me like, maybe.
It's maybe a trick.
So, yeah, that
movie
has... I do
it all the time, still.
And... infinite rewatchability. Every time I pop that movie in, I'm like, let's go. I adore that film. Mm-hmm.
You know those videos of people like dropping things and they catch it and they're like surprised they caught it and then they do the Spider-Man hands?
Yeah.
I do that with the Truman Show every now and then where like something funny will happen. I'll be like, ha, you almost got me.
Yeah.
Like one of those.
Yeah. Every once in a while.
I might as well play this up, you know, just in case.
Every once in a while you throw, you know, the gym helper look at the camera. Like, that was good, right?
Also, not that it affects how it shaped you, but like weirdly such a prophetic movie and how it is more relevant now than it was when it was released.
Which, by another hint, just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not a movie that will give you a worse case of main character syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't need the help.
Same. Trust me.
Amen.
Ryan, what's your number one?
Flip flop of Kyle. I am going back to one of my favorites, and
I don't want
really,
it is.
Yeah, right along with Brian, it is one of my favorite movies of all time. Really is sadly one of the ones that also shaped me in a lot of ways the most, and that's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. It is one of my favorites for so many fucking reasons, but like this hit me like again right after Sixth Sense. My mind was opening to things. I just got into college and I feel like I saw this after I was in my first film class where they started talking about like concepts and things, a lot of techniques, a lot of ways you can read into movies. So I was getting much more into things that way. But this movie, as again we talked about too, like just since memory floods back, I know immediately the shitty campus on theater I saw this in. I know exactly the seats I was sitting in. I know the two people I were with when I saw movie. And I remember, like,
this is similar to how I remember 9/11, hearing about it. Just letting you know.
All right. Eternal Sunshine was my 9/11. As a moviegoer, Eternal Sunshine was my 9/11.
In this metaphor, what was the second tower?
But, like,
you guys want to hear more controversial stuff? Sign up for the Patreon and look out for the next one coming out.
Oh, it gets way worse than that. I remember, like, and somebody else, I don't remember who said this, but, like, one of the joys of doing this stuff is, like, I think it was Sean post-Saw, the hour-long conversation in the parking lot. And we did this in, like, the middle of the student union for, like, 2 or 3 hours talking about this movie and, like, the ways they did things and what was cool and, like, the performances. And I was already into it, but, like, it also really shaped kind of how I view relationships. It made me a lot less kind of picky and choosy and have ideas because people are just people. This is, like, I think a great movie of just empathy in general. Charlie Kaufman is just an empathetic fucking filmmaker who, like, really understands empathy and, like, lets you in. If you engage in these movies, shows you how to be empathetic as a
person.
You
don't have a choice with Charlie Kaufman movies. Being John Malkovich, you have to engage. Adaptation, mm-hmm. you have to engage.
So much so. And this one did that with, like, love and relationships. And this was, like, at my peak, like, yearning for love and relationships because, like, I don't know. In college, not having a relationship and seeing other people get relationships and some people get fucking married and have kids, like, you start getting really desperate. And
big,
so, like,
sad
a lot
boy
of these
vibes.
So, and there's a lot of sad boy vibes in Eternal Sunshine. Mm-hmm. I don't think I related harder to a character than Joel in this movie mm-hmm. for a long time. But all of that said, more than just that, this is the movie that, like, introduced me and my wife. So it shaped me in that way too, because, like, one of the meet cute situations that Laura and I had when we were in South Korea was we got really drunk and started talking about movies just, like, offhand. She was a new teacher to the school I was teaching in, and she just mentioned Tarantino at the bar, and I overheard almost like a fucking vulture. And I was like, hey, do you like movies? And we just started talking, and she brought up Eternal Sunshine, and so did I, as, like, just one of our favorites. And it was like, wow, really? That movie? That's the one you go to? And we ended up talking to, like, 3:30, 4 in the morning on the rooftop of a bar in South Korea. And this was, like, kind of the thing that I think, and she thinks, and we both think, made us fall kind of in love with each other, kind of open us up to each other. That, honestly, this is one of those movies I think if you see it and you like and you have a good positive reaction to it, I trust you implicitly. If you watch this movie and you have a bad reaction to it and you don't like and you can't engage with it, I'm going to have a hard time connecting with you as a person. So it's one of these movies that just, like, shows you who a person is too. And it was just vibing with us. So, like, in so many ways, Eternal Sunshine just completely shapes me. So that is my number one. That's my number one. And I've talked a lot. So I'm not even going to talk about my honorable mentions. That's it.
I have a whole list of honorable mentions mm-hmm. that I don't think I'm going to get to either.
Cool.
Kyle, what's your number one, bud?
Yeah, and what Jim Carrey movie did you pick?
I was going to say, wouldn't it be wild if I picked a Jim Carrey movie? That'd be so fucking funny. I didn't.
The Mask.
Mine is a movie, as soon as Dave asked this question, it's the instant number one I thought of. It has not changed at all. Ironclad. It's a movie I saw at my uncle's house, and he saw how much I liked it. He had two VCRs, so he made me a copy of it. Oh,
cool uncle. All right.
I wore that copy of that movie out. My mom got me an official copy for Christmas that year. I wore that copy out. This movie, I fucking loved it. It exposed me to horror, to monsters, to practical effects, to dark humor, to B-movies, to Reba McEntire and to Kevin Bacon. It's fucking Tremors, man. Tremors, I fucking loved this movie. It impacted me so much. I wore out two fucking copies of this movie watching it as a kid. It was my all-time favorite movie. Watched it all the time. If you watched it with me now, I could probably quote the whole thing to you as we watched it.
Do it. We got time. Do it right now.
I like it. I'd have to be watching it.
That's the production logo.
But I could probably do it, man. I remember so much like Kevin Bacon's, "What the hell is going on?" I mean, what the hell is going on? Just you know, he only wears that one goddamn jacket. It smells like hell.
And like playing around as a kid and just hopping from rock to rock.
Mm-hmm. But dude, yeah. The Graboids are one of the coolest fucking monster designs ever. Like, again, so many things that I love now are from this movie, dude. For real. I have a Reba McEntire shirt. I love Reba, too.
Reba's fantastic. The fact that the first Tremors is just objectively so cheesy and, like, over the top that even the crummy sequels that came out after that are very entertaining because it's... I find them very entertaining because, it's like, you can't really... go much worse in quality. It doesn't have the star power. Still got Bert, but now they fly.
I've only seen two. I like two. Oh.
I don't really like them,
but I've not seen the other ones.
But well, the first one.
Never mind.
The first
I
one,
appreciate them
forever in my heart.
Tremors 3 is
man.
My number one.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, bet you guys didn't see that one coming, did you?
I did not. That's an awesome pick.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Sean, what's your number one, bud?
All right. We don't have a lot of time, so I am going to say my honorable mention, which was Home Alone.
Of course it is.
I love Home Alone. I love how it makes me feel about Christmas, that it's not about the gifts. It's about family, all of the traps, setting up traps in my basement. Mwah. But my number one, I think, is a big curveball, is Beauty and the Beast.
Nice.
I can't wait to hear why. Wow. I love this choice.
Beautiful film.
I knew no one was going to see that coming, and I especially loved it when Kyle said it was one of his most hated movies.
I fucking hate that movie, yeah.
That's an objectively
wrong
take.
That doesn't take much, though, I feel like.
To hate a movie?
Yeah, because Kyle goes right to the hate sometimes. He's like, nah, we're good.
I
hate it.
My reason for hating that is it's the same reason as Ghost Dad. It was just overplayed. I've seen it a billion times, and it's just, I hate it.
Nominated for Best Picture. That thing got a lot of respect.
It was a good movie. I'm not shitting on it. I'm just saying I hate it. So
great.
Sorry,
musical.
And in a Residence Inn hotel in Fishkill, New York.
I think for me, like, I even to this day, with music or anything, I don't really... I'm not affected by overplay. I don't watch TV. As a kid, I would rather play Nintendo than be watching anything on a TV. So when I watch something, like if I liked it, I would watch it. Beauty and the Beast really made me fall in love with musicals way back at a young age. Me personally, I don't think it's even been rivaled up until Moana recently.
Oh, wow. I love that. That's the one, because I also love Moana quite a bit.
I love Moana.
Moana's great. And
I wouldn't...
It's not even the best like better. Recent one too, because Encanto exists, and Encanto is so good.
But musical wise, story wise, Moana, but
100%.
This
story,
so
I love
high.
The story. I love
fuck
the
Wish
setting.
Though, right, guys?
What
fuck Wish?
Shut the fuck up! It's my
Wish?
Number one.
Terrible. No, Beauty and the Beast is great.
Let the man
Wish
cook.
Is garbage.
Oh, anyways, story's amazing. Locale, location, awesome. The characters, iconic. Gaston, the Beast, Belle, Maurice, Lafoe, Mrs. Potts, Chip. Like everyone are so iconic. The castle itself, you go from beautiful regal scenes to the dungeon, to the wing, which is all freaking cobwebbed. It's all over the place. It's gorgeous. It's an amazing story. Like Kyle and Tremors, like I can just quote it along. I've seen it live 5+ times. I've seen it in Latin. Nice. I love
in Latin?
Beauty
in Latin.
And the Beast.
That's cool. In Latin? Were you at a church?
I actually, so I took Latin in high school, and in my fourth year, we went to Rhode Island for something, and for some reason, there was a live performance of Beauty and the Beast at a theater performed completely in Latin.
Crazy.
Well, all right.
Do you?
Yeah, all right. It's definitely a Latin 4 thing because I didn't do that in Latin 3.
Yeah, it was Latin 4. Yeah. They don't let you do that.
N-T.
Do you have a soft spot for any of the Beauty and the Beast, like, knockoff or adjacent material because of that? Like, the
I like those.
With the Vanessa Hudgens and, like, the other things?
No, it's really strictly
the 40s Jean Cocteau French one is phenomenal.
I would check it out, but I never really have a desire to see any of the other things or any of the remakes, like the live action ones. Sure. Don't care.
I'm that way with the Tremors sequels because they just sully the goodness of it to me. So
don't ruin the magic for me. Like, I went back. Well, the original, like, 10 years ago now at this point, when Disney started re-releasing everything in 3D, 100% went and saw that in 3D. 100%. And it was fucking amazing. But
I'm like picturing the shot right now where the camera moves through the ballroom and you get the three-dimensional shot.
And they're spinning. And
I get goosebumps still.
That was like on one of the animators' reacts to. Like, I think that's one of, like, the very first CG integrated pieces into an animated movie.
It's just a 2D animation. It's ridiculous how they pulled that off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Revolutionary. Yeah. Fucking revolutionary.
I'll tell you when you're older.
Yep. But Dave, what is your number one?
My number one's the greatest movie of all time.
Tenacious D of the Pick of Destiny.
Wizard of Oz.
It is absolutely Wizard of Oz.
Wow. Nice. Okay.
I remember having the VHS growing up, and I watched this movie constantly. My mom loved the movie. Her name's Dorothy. I mean, I watched it all the time with her. My dance at my wedding with my mom was to Over the Rainbow, and she surprised me by wearing ruby slippers.
Aww.
Like, on the dance floor.
Man,
this movie,
Ryan and Dave pulling on the heartstrings this episode.
It's one of the most iconic films ever made. Even after 85 years, it still holds up. It still works. All of the effects that you see in it still, for the most part, work enough.
Yeah, they do.
Like, the Twister's great.
Enough?
I like just the one of the sock. Little person hanging himself. That's my favorite effect.
That's my favorite, too. It's always the best.
Have you seen it with the Pink VHS. Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon?
I have absolutely seen it with Pink Floyd multiple times, and it works for a while.
It's weird how much it works.
Yeah, it starts to lose steam like 20 minutes in, I'd say, where you're just like, well, this was fun.
Mm-hmm. That's about right. I was maybe more into it. I got to at least like 30, 40 minutes because, like, money played by
that's
that
still
point.
Pretty good.
Yeah, well, you got to get it to at least money.
Yeah.
But I remember watching this VHS, and at the end of the VHS, they had like little making of vignettes almost where they showed like the song The Jitterbug that got cut from the song, and you see the actors in the trees waving their arms and stuff. And I remember thinking, like, people make these things. And it always just sat with me.
Yeah.
Of like, no, people are actually making these things. And
there's a legacy
a quote
to it.
From Jean-Luc Godard that said, like, the film is the documentary of its own making. And it's another one that's always stuck with me. How, like, what you're seeing, there's an entire process that goes on behind the scenes that you're never going to know about for the most part. I mean, obviously DVD extras and everything like that. And now that I've seen how the sausage is made, I have so much even more appreciation for it because I've put my own blood, sweat, and tears into what's out there now. And Wizard of Oz is the reason why. It's always been the reason why. It always will be the reason why.
Similar question to
greatest film ever made.
To something that was asked to me on the last one is, loving that movie as much as you do, has there ever been any interest from you, like, Did you read Wicked or Son of a Witch?
Adjacent properties. Yeah.
I've never seen Wicked, and that's just because I was never able to get to the theater to see it. But now
I recommend
the coming out.
The
I can't wait.
What about the
Wicked
the
and
Wiz?
Son of a Witch?
I'll check them out. I mean, The Wiz is totally fine. Sidney Lumet, I think, did a totally fine job with it. It's a different retelling of the same story.
What about
it doesn't diminish the original by any means.
Was it Return to Oz?
I love Return
to
Oz
with James Franco.
Yeah,
James
Return to Oz.
It's all right.
Man.
There's
a lot
of fun things.
Not the Franco one. The
Assault.
Yes.
Yeah.
That movie.
Fine.
The Wheelers and TikTok. Yeah. Man, that movie rules, dude.
Is it just because
it's a weird one,
they don't pull? None of those movies pulled the tricks the way that first one does. That first one is a tour de force and, like, the tricks it pulls on. Like, wait, just how you view movies. And is it because, like, that's not able to be captured again? More so than, like, the storytelling or the characters. It's just the experience of that movie.
Yeah. I think that movie works because of when it came out and when it existed. And now I feel like, unfortunately,
you can never do it again.
What went into making it, you can never do that again.
Yeah.
You're dealing
Listen
with
here, Vanessa Hudgens,
at
you're going to chain smoke.
No, because Vanessa Hudgens is not Judy fucking Garland.
It's the first name that came into my mind. Get on that methamphetamine and chain smoke.
Well, that's the thing. Judy Garland had such a rough time at MGM when she was coming up, being like Mickey Rooney's almost sidekick the entire time. They ruined this kid.
Yeah.
And when you see what she did at age 19 in Wizard of Oz,
yeah,
there's no reason someone should have been able to put on a performance that strong for what they were going through. There's no reason.
I sadly, and this is maybe more of a bitter critique of Hollywood, I feel like there are a lot of like really talented kids like that who you're like, wow, they gave a really good fucked up performance that young. And then we learn only like decades later, oh, it's because they had a really fucked up situation behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is so fucked up that it was happening. I'm sure it's happening still to some degree now, but even as recently as like 20 something years ago, you were still having, you know, child
Jeanette
actors.
McCurdy wrote her book and called it I'm Glad My Mom Died.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the Nickelodeon stuff. I mean, it's not that long ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not that
all
long.
Very
it's all stuff we grew up with.
Exactly.
Maybe that's the stuff that actually made us. Spoilers.
Ooh.
It's the truth.
Dark Side
the
of
truth
Nickelodeon.
Got us.
Kind
Wizard of Oz always going to be my number one. It's a movie I said I would never ever talk about, and this is probably the extent I'll ever talk about it because it means
this
way
is
too much to me.
All we so get out of them.
Throw it out to you people. Sorry.
Really?
We could probably get him to talk about Wicked.
Yeah. You can get me to talk about Wicked. It's not the same. It's not 1939's Wizard of Oz.
It's true.
And it would arguably be the greatest year a director ever had if Steven Spielberg didn't exist in 1993 with Jurassic Park and Schindler's List.
That's
and
true.
And Mel Brooks didn't exist in 1974
right.
with Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein. And if Victor Fleming finished the movie of Wizard of Oz. Because he left the production...
That.
10 days before the end of production, and King Vidor dove onto it and finished Wizard of Oz and did all the Kansas sequences because Victor Fleming went on to do Gone with the Wind.
That's all fantastic.
Damn.
Mel Brooks and it's Steven Spielberg, those two pairings are not even in the same breath. Are you kidding me?
They are absolutely
Blazing
in the same
Blazing Saddles
you
and Young Frankenstein.
Two of the most iconic comedies ever made.
Jurassic Park. And Schindler's List.
Which changed cinema.
Two very different genres versus Mel Brooks just doing two comedies.
Yeah.
No, I just, yes. I think that it just.
We have enough time now separated
two.
That it absolutely works.
Inherently disrespects Spielberg, but whatever. Continue.
Steven Spielberg's greatest filmmaker ever lived. He is the number one on my Mount Rushmore and always
I
probably
agree.
Will be again.
Mel Brooks is a funny guy.
On that note, Sean, where can people find us?
Everybody can find us on, say, let's say X, Facebook.
Don't say
just
that.
Search out what?
Oh God, don't say
Twitter.
That.
Whatever.
There, okay.
Facebook, Twitter.
No, executive decision. Let's get off.
Grind, Experience Grind podcast on Twitter. We are on Discord now, and it is popping over there. So if you are one of the folks that really enjoyed. Going on to one of those, having channels popping off, having good conversations with folks. Find us on whatever socials, or there will be a link to the Discord, Patreon, and pretty much everything else right in the episode description below. So find us there and hang out with us.
This was fun, guys. Thank you for like indulging me.
This was a good episode.
One of the most fun episodes I've ever done, and it was fascinating trying to guess what was coming next for everybody.
Right.
And I didn't get a single one.
Well, I've got
one
more.
So it sounds like I set an awfully high bar then, huh?
This was
which is pretty unfortunate for the person who's giving us our episode for next week. Brian, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I didn't ever intend for this to be a surprise, but I guess the beer me is still burned into my system here.
Alive
until...
and well, kind of?
Yeah, kind of. This was one of my honorable mentions that did not get brought up, and I'm glad it didn't get brought up, because one of the things I did when we joined this podcast was assemble a list of every movie that we've talked about on all of our respective podcasts, all four or five or however many there have been between us, and it is a list of 566 movies,
good God.
And none of us have talked about the movie I want to talk about next week on a podcast, And it is one that I think is a movie that made probably a few of us, humor-wise, influenced our senses of humor. It's a little 1997 film called Austin Powers. International Man of
Have
Mystery.
We done... All right, so you've looked at this list. Any of the Austin Powers have not been covered?
Don't think
None
so.
None have.
A single Austin Powers. Three without possible. Doing one.
It doesn't That's seem cool. possible.
I like
here
this.
We are.
I've been thinking about this movie a lot, so.
That I is my bag. I was thinking about it last night.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
So jazzed.
Creepy. I love it.
My pick might be Spy Who Shagged Me then.
Why not?
We're in for it then.
I love
fellas,
this.
Fellas, this has been so much fun.
I love this. I
this
love
has
you
been
boys.
So much fun.
I'm glad that we're doing this, fellas. Kudos.
Yeah.
Excelsior.
And also, I did already say this earlier, and then I plugged it, that it's going to be in the description below. Mm-hmm. But we do have a Patreon. I am just going to drill that home. And we have already recorded bonus content that's going to be coming out on there prior to recording this episode. And I believe there's, I think, a bunch more stuff in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. So join us over there to get a little bit more bonus content. Perhaps you miss a lot of like the tangent talk. Well, that's probably where you're going to find it on these supersized episodes. So,
is this the part where I tell people to go fuck themselves?
I was going to say go flick
those words,
but yeah.
I don't want to tell people to go fuck themselves. This has been a pretty
that's what makes
good
it fun.
Episode of Let's Look Inside Each Other. Let's have a little self-love. So, folks.
Inside each other.
Go love yourselves.
Aww. Go make yourselves.
That's awesome. Go make yourselves. Very nice. We have Incubus song.